It's good to be back, and this is my second native speech of the night. I want to say I appreciate the cordial nature of Pat and of those at his table. Appreciate the cordial nature of the audience. Thank you for the way you conduct yourselves. In his first speech, he said, all those who obey repentance and baptism receive both blessings. He merely assumed that. He didn't prove it. He used 1 John 3, verse 24, and with this passage of Scripture, I pointed out he has a problem with it, and he did not address that problem. In Romans 8, 26 through 27, he said it's not related to the subject, but he misunderstood my position, and because of his misunderstanding of my position, misrepresented what I teach in my blue book. And so he did not get what I'm saying from the passage of Scripture. Matt Beaver did the same thing too. He asserted on seal and earnest and cited a number of passages without making an argument from a number of them. He agreed the miraculous occurs, and God can do anything he wants to, he said, but God will only do what is in accordance with his nature, with the nature of God. The Old Testament indwelling is a very important passage, a very important point, because there are a number of things that are linked with the indwelling historically by those who teach the personal indwelling, and he appears to have started with it with one of the questions he asked me about demon possession. And of course there was demon possession in the Old Testament, or at least in the pre-Pentecost New Testament, prior to Acts 2. And but there was no personal indwelling according to this doctrine. And so the two cannot be related. It can't be related to providence and other things of life's nature. In John 7, verses 37 through 39, he made a reference to this, but I want you to notice here, I have identified what receiving the Spirit is. From the principle of consistency, I have identified this. And I identified it in Acts chapter 8. We identified it in that passage of Scripture. Now, he said it was conditional upon water baptism. And I want you to notice here, yes, indeed, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the gift, in this case, they had to become Christians in order to have the apostles to lay their hands upon them. The apostles were not going to impart gifts to anyone who was non-Christian. But God imparted the gift in Acts chapter 10, and there's a distinction there. And God did it for a purpose, and if you haven't read Acts chapters 10, 11, and 15, you won't see that there's a distinct difference, and it's completely different than any other event. It's a unique one-time event, and therefore he cannot parallel them in that sense and say that because one of them preceded, the gift preceded baptism, Acts 10, and it followed baptism in Acts 2, that they're not indeed the same thing. Because there was a different purpose for the miraculous in both cases. The miraculous in Acts chapter 10, according to Acts 15, was to show, and actually Acts 10, 11, and 15, was to show the unbelieving Jews that indeed God had accepted the Gentiles. And that's what the Apostle Peter argued and reasoned from it, if you read Acts chapter 10, 11, and 15. Now, notice if you will, he used Galatians 4, 6, and really made not much of an argument from it, and we'll come back to that one a little bit later. He identified the expression, or identified in Luke 11, 13, the expression receiving the Spirit, or giving the Spirit, in Acts chapter 8. And he has not dealt with my identification of it. My definition that I've shown from the Scriptures themselves. He used Acts 2, verse 4, fill, and he said it's not the same as the filling of Ephesians 5, 18. Again, Pat did not read my book very carefully because I laid out why those are different. They are different Greek words. The word fill, not. And I showed why they are different from that in my book, in my blue book. And I think you need to look at that very carefully. Luke 1 and verse 15, he misrepresented what I believe. In Luke 1 and verse 15, he said that it can't be miraculous because John worked no miracles.
And yet Jesus said that John was a prophet. He said, what went you out of the water to see a prophet? He says, yes, he's a prophet, but more than a prophet. This man was a prophet. Is prophesying a miracle? Is it listed among the life of the gifts in that and the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, chapter 14? I believe it is. And so the man worked miracles because he was indeed a prophet of God. He did not work miracles of healing and other things of that nature, but he was still a prophet. I don't think that I can find anywhere that Jeremiah or some of the prophets like Jeremiah or Haggai worked a miracle per se, but did they miraculously reveal God's will? Were they working miracles when they did that? Most certainly they were. And so, in this instance here, it is the filling of the Spirit was indeed the impartation of the gift of being a prophet to John the Immerser. He was chosen from his mother's womb just like Jeremiah was. He begged the question when he said receiving the Holy Spirit. He says it's sometimes the indwelling, sometimes it's not the indwelling. Well, I've shown indeed that the expression is miraculous. The expression of receiving the Holy Spirit. That it is equated to the falling and the giving and the laying on of hands in Acts chapter 8. We tie it in with the gift of the Spirit in Acts 10, 44 through 46. When I tie these together, there is no reply to it. He is assumed, and he uses the expression receiving the Spirit as if it could be the indwelling of the Spirit. But you know what? I don't believe it is. And you're fighting a straw man. You're fighting a straw man here. It's not my position. I'm not taking the position that the term receiving the Spirit is indeed the indwelling of the Spirit. The expression receiving the Spirit is never used, to my knowledge, to refer to the indwelling of the Spirit. Never is. It is used repeatedly to refer to the miraculous, and he has to agree it is. I have proven that. He hasn't proven that it refers to the indwelling. I deny it. Now, he's in the affirmative. He needs to prove it. He used Galatians 3:27 in the past tense, and we will look at that in just a minute. One other thing that he says, if it's promised to all, he says, it's non-miraculous. And I would ask you, what about Mark 16, 15 through 18? There's a promise there. There's a promise of being saved. And then, in that immediate context, there is indeed the miraculous. Now then, I want to go to my first chart here in this line. Now give me chart number 161, if you will. 161. Now look at the gift of the Spirit. Who said that the gift was the indwelling? You can have the gift of God without it being an indwelling, can't you? We all believe that. You can have the gift of the Holy Spirit without it being an indwelling. Of the kind of indwelling he believes, because Cornelius got it before he was baptized. So he must draw some kind of distinction. So in Acts 10 and verse 45, you can have the gift of the Spirit without it being an indwelling. He's trying to say, gift of the Spirit is indwelling without proving it. Now I want you to look further. Give me, if you will, if one receives the gift of the Spirit, then he receives the indwelling. That's what he's saying. And so, every instance of receiving the gift of the Spirit is an indwelling. That's what he has to be teaching. That's all. Notice, if you will, chart number 168, please, if you will. And we repeated this in our last time up. Notice I showed you the consistency. Consistency identical. Go to chart 164, if you will. Chart 164. Consistency, no verse, and I assert this, and I'm going to prove it. Notice I'm going to prove what I assert. No verse using the phrase, gift of person, means the person is a gift. No verse. Now, give me chart 165, please. In this next chart, you're going to see no verse means the person is the gift. John 4:10, gift of God, God's gift. Acts 8:20, gift of God. Romans 6:23, Ephesians 2:8, 2 Timothy 1:6, gift of God. Romans 11:29, gifts of God. Ephesians 4:7, he is gift of Christ, and that's Christ's gift. Hebrews 2:4, as the Spirit's gifts. Now then, Acts 10:45, the gift of the Spirit is the Spirit's gift. He was giving miraculous gifts. And in Acts 2:38, gift of the Holy Spirit. What is it? You see, he is in the flying in the face of passage after passage after passage, where we have gift of the person. Gift of the person is not the person as a gift. Give me chart 167, if you will, please. In this chart, we're going to follow through with our Acts 2:38 information. And notice, we have consistency identical. We have the identical expression in Acts 10:45 and Acts 2 and verse 38. Over and over, we have used this principle when we've debated Baptists. And he talked about debating Baptists. Now give me one chart 168. I dare say, I believe Pat has had something like 100 debates. And if that's true, he's probably debated the Baptist. And he is a powerful debater. He's skillful. And I will say that for him. But I want you to know he has probably used this argument here that we're going to see here in just a moment. The gift of the Holy Spirit, consistency identical. Give me chart 168. Let me move it down. The gift of the Holy Spirit is the personal indwelling. If it is, then a non-Christian has received the personal indwelling. You see, he doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe that at all. So he must make a distinction between them. His doctrine demands it, but if he didn't take his doctrine, he wouldn't have to have it. Chart 169, please. In this passage of Scripture, we have what he has probably used in debating with Baptists on baptism. Notice, Acts 2:38, for the remission of sin. King James says, the American Standard says, unto the remission of sin. In Matthew 26 and verse 28, for this is my blood, the new testament which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. We have used that passage in our debates with Baptists on the purpose of baptism over and over, and shown from this passage we have used consistency, and I dare say he's probably done it himself. He is probably done it himself. Our debating brethren have used it, and they were not wrong to use it. They have used consistency, which is exactly what I've been doing here. Why is it all right to use it here, Acts 2:38, Acts 26:28, but not all right to use it, Acts 2:38, Acts 10:45? His doctrine demands it. His doctrine demands it. But it does not necessarily follow. I want to look at receiving the Spirit. Chart 223, please. In this receiving the Spirit, baptized believer receives the Spirit according to him. This is the doctrine that's taught for this. I don't believe receiving the Spirit is the indwelling. I don't believe it's the indwelling. He has proven it's the indwelling. Give me chart 224, if you will. None of the Samaritans have received the Spirit after their baptism. It says that none has received the Holy Spirit. Very plainly, it lays it out for us. None have received the Holy Spirit. He agreed with the definition. Give me the next chart, if you will. Chart number 226. He agrees, chart 228, if you will. He agrees with the definition. Notice here, for as yet it would fall upon none of them, the Holy Spirit. Notice he says in Acts 8:15, receiving the Spirit, same as falling. The Holy Spirit fell on them that heard the word, and that the Holy Spirit also was poured out, the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 10:45. In these passages of Scripture, you have them identified as being one and the same. The receiving of the Spirit, the pouring of the Spirit, the falling of the Spirit, they're all one and the same. Now, give me chart number 229, if you will. This is the none chart. The word none. Okay, I don't want to use that one, I'm sorry. Go back to chart number 4, if you will. Chart number 4. That's my hurdle chart. These are the hurdles. Now then, these are the hurdles he must overcome. He must prove it's non-miraculous. He must prove it's the Spirit itself. He must prove it's an indwelling. And he must prove it's the personal indwelling from these passages of Scripture. Let's go to Acts 5:32, and I'm going to look at Acts 5:32 in some detail. We're going to go through that as quickly as possible. Give me chart 201, if you will. We're going to look at the context. Look at the context of this passage of Scripture. This context is very important to us. It is a proclamation of the events of the past. Now, he cited Galatians 3:26-27. But that's in a different context, and I want us to look at what's going on in this context. Brethren, this context is what we have to look at. This context is what we have to look at. So keep that in mind. Now, that's the point I'm going to make here. I want to develop that point. In this, we have the past tense, and he agreed with past tense. So give me the next chart, if you will, chart 202. All right? In this, we don't find the word dwell in this passage of Scripture at all. It's not there. Chart 203, if you will. When? It's past tense. He agreed with my point on that. So there's no question about that. Chart 204. He agreed with my point on this. That is, God has given his past tense. It is a proclamation of past events, not future blessings. He needs to show that indeed this passage, not Galatians 3:26-27, but this passage applies to future events. You know, when I say you have to be baptized, I cite a passage in Acts 2:38, March 16, Acts 22:16. But it wasn't spoken to me, it wasn't spoken to you. We have to, by necessary inference, show that anything applies to us today from the Bible. We have to, by necessary inference, show it applies. That we have to do. Even if we show it applies to the first century, the age of the miraculous, we haven't proven it applies today. That's what's wrong with our Pentecostal friends. They don't see the difference. But we have to show that every single verse applies to us today. If I said, go build an ark, you'd know I was wrong. Because you context. Now, here, let's look at context. Give me chart number 205, if you will. To whom was the Holy Spirit given? To whom? To those obeying him, present tense. I want you to see something here. Give me chart 206. We've had this one already. To the apostles. On Pentecost, God gave the Holy Spirit unto the apostles who were at that very time obeying him, even while standing before the council in the face of imprisonment and death. Give me the next chart, if you will, chart 207. But this is the killer to them. This is the killer to them. It is the proclamation of past events. I want you to notice, to those obeying him, is that future? No, no it's not. Is it past? No. It is present tense. The obeying is in the present tense. He knows it. He knows it's present tense in the original language. It's present tense in the Good English translations, several of which I've cited. Now, there's another struggle for it, if you will, from this. The Spirit was given before they obeyed, given in the past to those obeying in the present tense. The only way you can explain that is they got the Spirit before they obeyed. They obeyed there with something they were doing right then, and they have received in the past the Spirit. Now that's what that verse is saying. Keep it in its context. Now give me chart 209. I sure hope I have time to get through this. He was given for the purpose of enabling the apostles to bear witness. Ye are witnesses. Witnessing was a miraculous thing that went on in the first century. Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power in the Holy Spirit, and ye shall be my witnesses. John 15:26. The comforter would bear witness. Ye also bear witness. There are two witnessing in Acts 5:32. There is the witnessing of the apostles and the witnessing of the Holy Spirit. These two passages, Acts 1:8 and John 15:26, explain this. Because the apostles were miraculously guided witnesses, guided by the Holy Spirit. That's precisely what's being said in this context, in this passage of Scripture. Now notice, in Acts 1:8, 1:22, 2:23, 3:15, 5:32, 10:39, 10:41, 13:31, all of these passages and others show the apostles were miraculously guiding witnesses. He came to bear witness, and he did it, Hebrews 2:4, by means of the gift of the Holy Spirit. This was one way of witnessing. And so we can see this. This is the fulfillment of Acts 1 and verse 8. If we have time, give you chart number 4, the hurdle card again. If we don't have time, we have to get over it. This passage is miraculous. Acts 5:32. He's got to prove it's the Holy Spirit. You see, the giving of the Holy Spirit, I've already proven, was miraculous in Acts chapter 8. He's got to prove it's an indwelling. The word indwelling is not in the passage. He's got to prove if he proves it's an indwelling, because he's already admitted there is a representative indwelling. He's got to prove this made personal. Thank you for your attention.